This is a presentation of the Trine Broadcasting Network. Learn more at trine.edu.
Hello, I'm James Tu, Assistant Vice President for Content and Communications at Trine University, and this is the Education One podcast. In this podcast, we talk to different schools that are part of the Education One network and discuss some of the different issues and opportunities within the charter school field today. My guest today is Leslie Draper, who is with Inspire Academy. Leslie, could you introduce yourself and describe your role at Inspire Academy and also tell us a little bit about your background in education?
Sure. Hi, my name is Leslie Draper, and I am the founder and executive director of Inspire Academy in Muncie, Indiana. I have a master's degree in education administration, as well as having completed various trainings and postgraduate courses. As an educational leader, I believe it's my role to model lifelong learning to our crew. So that's why you'll see me continue to take trainings and courses along the way as well. Prior to founding Inspire Academy, I've served in both administrative and instructional roles at Ivy Tech Community College, served as a teaching artist at Cornerstone Center for the Arts here in Muncie, as well as led a K-8 academic coaching program.
And I'm also joined by two Education One staff members. If you could each briefly introduce yourself and describe your roles.
Hi, my name is Allie Lung, and I am the University Partnerships and Marketing Specialist for Education One.
Hello, I'm Amanda Webb, and I am the Academic Support Specialist.
Leslie, you mentioned that you're the founder of Inspire Academy. Could you please give us maybe a little bit of background on the founding of Inspire Academy?
Yeah, of course. Inspire Academy was birthed out of organic community initiatives. The academic coaching program I mentioned was some work we were doing in the community, just to kind of fill some gaps that a lot of families were feeling weren't being served through the broader education system. And as we continued to listen to the needs and desires of our neighbors and community members, it was for more educational options. Specifically, that more centered the parents' voice and parents' choice and brought that home culture into the learning environment. So that was kind of what kicked off the founding of Inspire Academy.
And what is the mission of Inspire Academy?
Our mission is to empower a diverse body of students with an internationally competitive education by fostering students' natural inclination toward curiosity, discovery, and adventure.
Talk about that last part of the mission, about the inspiring their curiosity. How do you bring that about?
Sure. It's funny you asked me to focus a little more on that second half, that final phrase, because I was feeling the need to do so myself and just mention that. Kids are naturally curious. Kids are naturally adventurers. And sometimes we work that out of them through the educational process. And our goal is to really nurture that in them through the educational process and keep it alive as long as possible, hopefully all the way into adulthood. We're a school of inquiry. That's something that we've really woven deeply into the founding structures and values of our school. That means we encourage students to ask questions and to follow the trajectory of those questions. In order to guide this process with rigor and structure, you know, sometimes people hear inquiry, curiosity, adventure, and they think of a very unstructured, do as you please environment. But we really are committed to structure and rigor at Inspire Academy. And we use the EL education model that helps ensure that we're hitting those grade level standards and helping kids dive deeply into learning in ways that prepare them for future success and careers. Our school design model focuses heavily on integration of the disciplines. I think that's another way that curiosity stays alive. We're really building science and social studies into the reading, the writing, and doing in-depth studies that we call expeditions to really become mini experts on a topic. And those research-based practices are built in so that their curiosity can develop some really strong foundational skills in addition to keeping them alert, alive, and engaged in the process.
Could you maybe give an example of what you mentioned the phrase school of inquiry? Could you give maybe an example of what that would look like in a lesson?
Yes, I could cite many, many examples. One of the most apparent examples that you would see in a lesson is creating authentic products for authentic audiences. So all of our 9 to 18 week studies are building toward an authentic product, and it is meant to address a real world problem or a real world felt need. And so in the lessons, they begin by building that background knowledge, so they have the knowledge to engage an authentic audience, and then they build a creative process or a creative product for that. One would be our fourth grade crew just hosted a poetry night at the YWCA downtown here in Muncie in collaboration with the Juneteenth committee here in Muncie that is working to bring student voices alive at a younger age. And so our fourth graders were able to write the poetry, help really perform that poetry before an authentic audience and focus the community on youth voices in poetry. Another example is our second graders. They study pollinators. Every spring, they do an in-depth study about pollinators. Of course, that includes plant biology, that includes life cycle, that includes all sorts of things. And as part of that, they create and distribute seed packets in the spring to ensure that they're helping the community support an ecosystem that can protect and preserve our pollinators. So those are two examples. The list could go on and on of what that might look like.
Leslie, you use phrases like in referencing students, your crew, and I just know that your slogan. How would you say that all just goes into just the culture at Inspire Academy?
We use the term crew. It's an EL education crew based on a Kurt Hahn quote. He's a great educator. I recommend listeners look him up if interested. But we really are good at Inspire at a creating a sense of community and belonging. And we do that both through what I'd call the spirit of crew and the structure of crew. We believe that every student, every family needs a place to belong. So, you know, the spirit of crew is inclusive, multicultural environment. The structure of crew is structures for knowing people well. Every day starts with a morning circle, a check-in, a greeting. It may be team building. It may be goal setting, depending on the day of the week, what that is. But it's a way to really do a check-in, see how everyone's feeling and doing, as well as a lot of other opportunities through support staff. Community circle, which is a school-wide circle to develop belonging and togetherness, that all works together to create that culture and crew. Another piece I would say is that we are very student-centered. So students have a more impactful education when they're engaged with their schooling. With our student-centered model, Inspire students are taught valuable lessons in leadership. They're able to take ownership of and pride in their educational journey. So, you know, the goal in that is that they become lifelong learners and empowered by the education that we give them in the foundational years to be leaders within their communities. And we practice that now. We let them see that they have a voice and a place for leadership now that hopefully then can carry into their future careers and civic life.
You also mentioned something called EL education, I think is what you referred to it as. Can you maybe describe that a little bit more?
Sure. EL education is school-wide or a nationwide school reform model. It is historically in the work of Kurt Hahn. He had two different schools, the Salem School as well as the Gordonstown School in Scotland. And his work in education birthed Outward Bound here in the United States. If you're familiar with Outward Bound, it's really a wilderness press your boundaries approach to team learning and to building leadership skills. And what EL education did, expeditionary learning at the time, that's where the EL originally came for, it stands for much more now, but they wanted to take these concepts that Outward Bound had taken into the wilderness and bring them back into the classroom where Kurt Hahn had originated them. So it's a research-based school reform model. It's not a management company. They have curriculum that supports it, and it's all built in these expeditions, has, some core practices that include this crew structure and things like that. The expedition piece of EL education is really that 9 to 18 week structure of the curriculum that builds many experts so that we're going deeper and not broader, if that makes sense.
The expedition is really just a very deep dive into a particular area of study?
Yes, exactly. It's an integrated approach, so it's an English language arts structure, but it's all science or social studies based. so that they're learning to, you know, this generation has a world of information at their fingertips, and memorizing facts, surface level learning really is outdated because, you know, we can ask Siri and have the answer really quickly. So what we're trying to do is educate a generation that has a world of information at their fingertips to early in life be able to sift through what is reliable source, what is misinformation, how can I learn this both through reading sources but writing my own sources, citing evidence. And to be able to do that, you really have to dig deeply into a topic. So yeah, at the end of a 9 to 8 week expedition, as we call them, the kids really know deeply, you know, back to an earlier example, our second graders are experts on all things related to pollinators and how that works for, of course, at the second grade level, and can write about it and tell you about it and things like that.
It also sounds like the model you use is very interactive for students. Can you kind of describe that aspect of what you do at Inspire?
Sure. Exhibition night, as we call it, kind of those exhibits of student learning is probably a good example of this. It's a really a parent structure. Instead of pouring time outside of class into holiday programs and things like that, we pour that time into preparing students to share and present their work from the semester with a larger audience. And we get a lot of family engagement through this. High percentages of our families come out to support their kids, but also learn from their kids and learn how their kids have really built an in-depth understanding and can share what that looks like with families or community guests. So for another example of what this might look like, a group of our students studies voters' rights and the suffrage movement and some of those pieces, and they create pamphlets on why it matters to vote so that while they might be too young to vote right now, they could potentially get their parents involved in voting and be able to impact society in that way. So while doing that, they also then learn professional presentation skills. You know, one thing we hear time and time again from Inspire students as they move on in life, as well as Inspire families, is just how comfortable our kids are public speaking. You know, if you talk and read, you hear so much about how many adults are terrified to speak in public. And that's just not the case with Inspire kids because they've been doing it since they were five. And they can present to an audience, big or small, and are very used to doing it. They do it at least twice a year at our school.
How would you describe the culture at Inspire Academy?
I would describe our culture as inclusive. I would describe it as student-centered. I would describe it as whatever it takes. We have a really strong group of committed educators who are hungry to do whatever is needed to help kids succeed. Our kids express feeling a sense of belonging and community at Inspire. We see kids come back after they leave to visit. We hear kids reference their years at Inspire as some of their peak education years of meaningful education rather than just checking off the boxes.
I know you mentioned a little bit about the expeditions and the EL education model. What are some other ways you would say Inspire Academy is innovative within education?
For me to answer this question because I've been living and breathing Inspire's way of doing school for a long time. Often guests or new crew members are able to answer this question a little better than I am. But I think that the integration of the disciplines is a key way that it is innovative, that the ability to really stay on a topic and linger in a topic and dive deeply into that topic. The exhibition nights are a piece that people go, oh, wow, this is different and innovative to have those kids practicing, exhibiting their learning, sharing their learning with others beyond the classroom. Another thing we hear a lot of is our character education program through habits-based learning. So we build all of our character education around a habit approach, you know, not a inborn trait, but something you can build and practice through learning targets. And our kids are actually graded on what we call habits of scholarship in addition to academics so that people can really see how is my kid doing in the practices that develop integrity? How is my kid doing in the practices that develop empathy or a commitment to quality, things like that. And it's also really neat because then through, we serve a pretty high population of students with disabilities, and it's neat to be able to honor all different students for what they bring to the crew. So, you know, somebody may or may not be able to, what would traditionally be called A's and B's. We don't use letters that inspire, but we can also honor someone who's really showing an example to our students of what it means to persevere. And that focus allows us to honor more students, to recognize more students, and really help build a belief. I think one of our core values is empowering students to believe, you know, believe that they can, believe that they will. And so being able to recognize gifts, traits, and developing habits in students, regardless of where their academic capacity is really meaningful for the community, both now and into the future.
What are some of the equity gaps that your students face, and how do you work to bridge those gaps for your students?
Our students face almost every equity gap that you can think of. The percentage of kids facing poverty in our school is so high that the National School Lunch Program has given us community eligibility. And what that does is means we can just feed our entire student body with breakfast, lunch, and a fresh produce snack every day for free, without trying to sift through the haves and have-nots. Because in a school where so many kids face poverty, that would get awkward and sensitive. So we appreciate a program like that. That's one way we address that equity gap, because, you know, we know it's hard to engage the brain in learning when it's hungry for nutrients. Unfortunately, along with poverty also comes an increased rate of adverse childhood experiences. If you're familiar with that research that's been going on for the past few decades, they're referred to as ACEs. And higher ACEs scores impact the entire health outlook of our lives. So that's an equity gap some of our students are facing beyond their control, that they have higher levels of adverse childhood experiences from quite a young age. Of course, as a school committed to serving a diverse body of students, our students also face racial equity gaps. One of the ways we are successfully changing this for our students is by working to ensure our staffing demographics match our student body demographics. Too many students of color have gone through their entire schooling experience without teachers who look like them and have cleared similar hurdles to what many of our students face. So ensuring that each of our students studies under the direct instruction of teachers from various ethnic heritages is a way that we can help ensure that students of all races are comfortable in the growing diversity that the American experience offers. You know, we know if we look at national census data that America's hitting a tipping point in who will be the majority of this country. So it's really important that all of our students get to high school and beyond prepared to interact with people from all different backgrounds, all different races, and are valued in that way.
Leslie, can you speak how just all of that work goes towards just your school-specific goal this year of joyful student engagement and learning, and just the work that your team is doing on creating a common school-wide just language structure and the curriculum work that your crew has been putting in?
Sure. So joyful is a big word for us that came to the surface during the aftermath of the pandemic, or probably even during the pandemic. We had five habits up until the pandemic, and they were empathy, perseverance, integrity, curiosity, and quality, those habits of scholarship. And there was a particular staff member at the time that just kept that saying, like, we need to add joy. Like, joy is a habit of success, because I know all of you in a professional environment could probably attest to as well. If you work with a coworker who has no joy in their work, that's not a good environment to be in. So we really started to focus on that. How do we make sure we're doing this work with joy? How do we make sure our kids experience joy doing this work? And specifically, we've needed to focus on, as a society, Black joy. As we went through 2020 and some of the health outcomes disparity in the pandemic, you know, and those things are not new, but it certainly came to the surface. And then, of course, there were some political events that brought a lot of pain to the Black community. And so learning to be okay with experiencing Black joy and not having such a somber environment or a achievement only focus that we didn't honor that in life for quality of living, people need to have joy. So we're looking for that in the classroom across the board, not just for Black students, but for all students, to make sure that our educators are engaging them in ways that allow that joy to stay alive. And if it's not a work day full of joy, you know, we all know sometimes our work is not that fun, right? There's ups and downs and tasks we enjoy more than others. And that's a reality of life that we need to teach kids. But when we see it getting heavy, what do we do to lift the spirit through, whether it's games, competitions, a more meaningful experience like a poetry night or things like that, so that kids are experiencing joy in their work?
I know that your crew has been putting in a lot of work this year in just developing a common school-wide language, just structures and curriculum to make sure that it's just being carried out with fidelity and just evidence throughout all the grade levels.
Yes. So thank you for the reminder on the school-wide language and structures. And this is another piece that I would say the pandemic really impacted. When everyone had to disperse from schools for the sake of health-related isolation to protect us all while they were able to research this new virus, it really became a big blank permission slip for teachers to, you know, if you need to ditch the curriculum, ditch the curriculum. If you need to change your approach, change your approach. But what we want you to do, teachers, is to get kids on screens and in touch with you and in touch with peers virtually. And it might not look the same for a while because we're really right now, you know, on that hierarchy of needs, we're worried about connection, we're worried about safety, and we're making sure everyone gets through this. So then bringing everyone back from that in some ways is like retraining and rebuilding the structures to go, okay, we went through this, we recovered, we brought back everyone into the building, which also required a good bit of leniency, right? Like, we need to get you back in here. Just come to school. We love you, be here, be present. To going, okay, we've gotten through that phase. Don't forget, here's who we are as a school. Here are our curriculum structures. Here's our school-wide language that builds this culture, that builds this crew, that builds this meaningful and engaging learning. So it's been a journey. I know everyone is aware of how hard the pandemic was on educators and schools. And to rebuild and restructure and recreate ourselves has been a journey. But I think that finally this year, we're experiencing some normalcy, which is really exciting to be able to rebuild momentum.
How does Inspire Academy meet the needs of its students through community connections?
So Inspire is committed to operating from an asset-based perspective, and so we actively work to connect students with the assets and resources in our community. We want our students to see their own town as valuable, even though at times it's seen as a struggling post-pandemic town. There is so much here to learn from, to engage in, and to enjoy. So we incorporate mainly fieldwork and local experts is what we call it into these expeditions so that students are exposed to a wide range of careers and professional practices in various fields. You know, they get out into various organizations, various businesses, different research fields in the community and region and study and take notes and bring that back to the classroom. Our teachers also often invite, you know, local experts, local professionals, local public servants or elected officials into the school building to talk to kids and to really start to build that network of connections in their community that we know is so important later in life for networking for careers and professional advancement. So they're getting that done before high school even begins. Inspire also uses connections, community connections in more traditional ways as well. You know, we do food distribution, we have health screenings, opportunities for attending cultural events. Certainly don't neglect those more traditional ways of building community connections, but we really love doing it through an academic lens of fieldwork and local experts.
What do you love about working at Inspire Academy?
So this might be the hardest question to answer because I love so much about Inspire Academy. You know, when you're the founder of something, it's kind of like asking you what you love about your kid, right? And you could go on and on. But I think it's all captured so well in our motto, Think Outside the Desk. Inspire Academy is relentlessly committed to meeting the needs of students and families. And it's done in ways that go against the current, that, you know, we think outside the desk regularly. We don't allow traditional boundaries to rein us in on what will serve our students and families best. It often feels like we're swimming upstream, but that analogy really holds true because the best water is found at the top where the stream is coming from. The purest water is rarely found at the bottom where the stream ends. So we're committed to swimming upstream with our kids and families to ensure that they have access to the resources and opportunities available to them further upstream. It's tiring work, but it's rewarding work. And I always want to work hard and tirelessly for something our students and families might not be able to achieve somewhere else. So making sure if we're going to work these long, hard hours that we're not just recreating the wheel, because that would just not be efficient use of our time and energy. So, you know, when we're swimming upstream and trying to get those clearer resources and that, you know, crystal clear water source that gives life, that gives opportunity, and we're doing that together with families that are historically marginalized, historically face barriers to success, that's incredibly rewarding work and worth it.
Is there anything else you'd like to add that we haven't covered?
Hopefully I've given you a picture of Inspire Academy and what makes us innovative, different, and meaningful in the community, as well as some of the struggles that we have to work against and work hard for our kids.
Thank you so much for doing this with us today. I feel like I got to learn more about Inspire today, so thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to this presentation of the Trine Broadcasting Network. Learn more at trine.edu.